listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flueckiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to this episode of LA Talk Radio, the show, Your Ultimate Life, brought to you simply and only to help you create a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy, a life you love to live every day. And you create that by using your gifts, your talents, your life experience to add good to the world. Today, I have a special guest, Amy Harper. Amy, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kellen. So great to be here.
I'm glad you're here. So I don't do introductions. We do that by moving through what you do and so forth, because a big long list of this, that, and the other doesn't really accomplish anything. So let me ask a first question to get you started, and I don't want you to be modest. This is a question that I really want you to tell the truth on, and that is, how does Amy choose to add good to the world?
I am a harbinger of joy. I teach people how to connect with the joy in their lives. We are so outwardly focused. Imagine a civilization that solves the energy crisis, infrastructure, medicine, transportation, AI, and then produces millions of human beings who have completely forgotten how to experience awe and joy from a place that comes from yourself, not because you put on, you know, a Lewis Black comedy show, you know, something that comes from us. So if that's what we produce, what exactly did we build? You know, if we're not experiencing joy in our lives before we put on the hat of CEO or mom or whatever we're doing, then what are we doing here?
So you're a harbinger, a bringer of joy, and you're here to more than this, and you can elaborate, but you're here to remind me that the fundamental thing here is to have joy in each other, in our own gifts and talents, in our fellowship and companionship, and to love and serve each other, essentially. And you're reminding us of that no matter what goes on outside.
Absolutely. We're so outwardly focused. You know, every time I pull up social media or even answer my emails or anything where I'm focused on the 3D outside of myself, I am just inundated with ad after ad. You've got to get this app, this new meditation, this new technology that will make you feel good, the next thing. And we are constantly outsourcing our authority to all of this. But none of it matters if we are not able to experience joy within ourselves first and foremost. So I teach people how to come back to the real human experience where their joy is self-sustaining. And I restore agency. I happen to do this through creative practice. That's just the mechanism. But, you know, I'm not in the art education business. I am in the business of restoring the agency through it.
So let me ask you a question. What happened? How did we build and sustain this culture or this thing that makes us so outwardly focused and focused on what you call the 3D? We'll talk about a little bit that in a minute. But what are we doing that built this? Where did that come from?
I think the amount of pressure that is on every individual right now is honestly, it's inhumane, especially on women. I mean, I work with everybody, but my bread and butter is to work with women who are struggling with their identities after trauma. But I feel like the entire world is just constantly feeding us messages that we can't do it ourselves and we're not good enough. And we're constantly having to live up to these absolutely insane standards with zero support. And as a side effect of going outside of ourselves to get support, we've become completely dependent on focusing on the outward and never focusing on the inward. I have found that the most people that I work with, when they start kind of peeling back the layers of how they really feel and getting in touch with it, it's the first time that they've actually dropped into their real selves since they were young. You know, and that return to the presence in the now, stripping away all of these titles, these meaningless titles, CEO, CFO, this, that, speaker, done this, all of these accolades. Well, if the person that has all of those accolades is genuinely miserable, why do they matter? And people can get very, very lost in it. And I think most people are very lost in it. And it's easy to get lost in it. It's incredibly seductive. It is incredibly seductive. You know, we look at all of these ads and we see these women on the top of mountains in these very large hats. They're always wearing large hats for some reason and flowy robes. And they look incredible. And we want that, but that's not the answer.
So what I'm hearing is we have built a world and we didn't get to how, and maybe we will and maybe we won't, but we built a world that is constantly giving messages to us as we participate in the world, which means billboards, work, going places, being alive, watching TV, whatever it is we're doing. We're participating in life and we're constantly getting messages that says we're not enough. And in order to be enough, we have to buy this, do that, wear this, go here, climb this. And that seduction causes us to want it, do it, go outside, find those things that will somehow fill this feeling in us that we are okay, that we're enough. We're valid, we're valuable. And that cycle just keeps repeating itself, because what I'm hearing you say is no amount of that external stuff, no matter how much of it we buy or get, fills us from the inside.
Exactly. If you speak to people who have become millionaires time and time again, many times over, they all say the same thing. When they finally came to that milestone, it didn't really mean anything to them anymore. And they were focused on the next one. It's never enough. And our identities are trying to protect and or completely build themselves through a very outdated measure of value. This outward focus, it was always outdated, but it needs to be an inward focus. That is the only way that the measuring stick by which we measure our self-worth will not be infinite. If we're going outward, that measuring stick where we're saying, okay, my self-worth will be enough when I reach this. I'll be enough when I get here. That measuring stick is infinite. But if we go inward, it's really just gone. And we can have all of these things in the now. You know, when people want money and they enter into containers to manifest millions of dollars, it's not about manifesting a number in the bank. It's about manifesting the feeling of complete and total freedom. We can have that now. You know, our emotions are just the chemical residue of that experience. So what if we could generate that experience in the now? And by doing so, we anchor in our identity in an unshakable way. And then when you stack joy, when you stack the rest of your life on top of it, everything just kind of seems to flow in your favor in this really beautiful rhythmic way. You flow with life and not against it. And creativity is the method that I use to facilitate this.
So I want to go to your methods so you can teach us some stuff in a minute. I want to do one more question about this sort of senseless, because as you're describing this to me, I'm hearing you describe to me a senseless circle where we go outside to find validation. We know it's never enough. Nobody on their deathbed said, I wish I spent more time at the office. I mean, we've all heard that kind of thing. Nobody wishes I had another million when, you know, they're thinking about love and forgiveness and relationships and people and all that kind of stuff that is all here now. And yet we sacrifice that. We put it to the side and say later, so we can pursue these externalities, which don't amount to anything. So we have this endless circle. And you're saying, gee, I can have fulfillment today. I can have a good feeling about myself today, independent of these external measurements. So if somebody comes to you, I come to you and I say, You know, the way you've described this, Amy, I am completely a victim of that. I'm stuck in it. I see it all over me, the residues dripping off in my nervous system or whatever. I need you to guide me, help me. What do you do first with somebody that at least says, yeah, I hear you and this sucks?
Well, the first thing I think that we need to address is when somebody comes to me with this request, what they're asking for, the real product here is permission to become yourself. Free from all of the trauma, whether that's a big T or a little T, and really learn how to express yourself the way that your inner self wants to express itself. Because, you know, people express themselves in a variety of different ways, but, you know, we're not, if somebody's expressing themselves through fashion, let's say, they're not really expressing themselves. They're wearing whatever the designer is, whatever the designer wanted to express themselves. If we go to a class, an art class, to learn some expression, well, you're not learning expression. You are learning the technique of the person that's teaching it to you. That's not how your inner self wants to express itself. So if an individual wants to come back to recover real authorship over their own expression, their real identity, we strip away the trauma, we regulate the central nervous system, and we learn how to express in a way that fills our cup and never drains it.
So I certainly, everybody has their share of big T, little T trauma. Good things, bad things happen to everybody. And how much they cling to us is a measure of how much trauma is still affecting us, right? Mm. And then we have these external measuring sticks. And what you said is the real product is freedom to express yourself. So if I'm a practical thing, if I have a business and I feel like this is really what I want to be doing, but it's not performing like I want, or I'm not having the joy in it that I thought I would. What form of non-expression, and I realize it depends on the person and the situation, but you've looked at enough of these. What's going on that makes me feel like the thing I thought I wanted to do isn't working? Like what brings that up?
A loss of connection to the self.
Talk more about that.
We develop these ideas of what we need for our lives. This is going to make me happy. This is going to make me feel important. Like my contribution to the world matters. And, you know, what's that saying? Life happens when you're busy making, you know. Yeah. And so that's what happened to me. That's what happened to me. And I really lost myself on this path and I had my bottleneck moment. And, you know, I'm a very decorated painter. You know, I've had quite a career, but none of it brought me any pleasure. None of it brought me any joy. And I realized that the disconnect is the disconnection to the self. We don't need one more thing. We need to connect to our true selves. And that in order to do that, we have to really strip away, layer by layer, all of this trauma, the reason that we got here and our parts in it. And we have to give people the feeling of the power that they can heal themselves.
So I want you to do something. Yeah. I'm interrupting. I know this, but you said something about your own journey. And when someone looks at someone like you,
yeah,
and says, wow, she's saying words that matter to me. She's saying things that connect with me. I certainly want freedom to express myself and do it freely. I want to get rid of all this artificial stuff because it's not fun. You didn't fall up that mountain. Nobody falls up the mountain. So tell me a little bit about what happened. What brought you to the realization that despite the success, and tell us about the success, if however much you like, but despite that, you realize there you had created or allowed the world to create this disconnect, and then you did something about it. Tell us about that, because that's the same journey that everybody's got to take, more or less, in different words and forms. So tell us a little bit about yours.
Well, it's not a good story, and I'm more than happy to share it.
It
No one's
is,
going to laugh, but it's a
it's a great
powerful
story.
story.
It's a good story because look at you now. So whatever mud it went through is whatever mud it went through. But and you can share whatever you want to or don't want to. But it's always interesting to me because it involves a set of sacrifices and choices and letting go and relearning and all the things that it does. And I think that would be really powerful for people to hear the choices that you had to make.
Well, you know, I did not grow up with my family. I grew up in a house of strangers, and they were very, very toxic strangers. And I didn't understand that there was another way to be. I always knew that I wanted to really connect in a place of really pure love. And, you know, like I've heard you say on your podcast, you know, tell people that you love them, say goodbye, I love you, great to see you. Well, I love all of that. And none of that was ever reciprocated. And I brought that structure into a marriage because I didn't know there was any other way to be. And when the matriarch of the house got sick with cancer, stage 4 cancer, it kind of all fell on my shoulders to take care of everybody. And my ex-husband staged a coup to take over my life and my assets after she had passed. And so the story was very, very disturbing and difficult and violent. And I ended up kicked out of my house. He worked very hard to separate me from every point of contact. So he was very well prepared. He sought out every friend that I had, every cousin, every contact, and really went to work. And so I was alone. And I was alone in a crummy hotel room. And I was sitting on the floor. And I knew that there had to be more than this. So far past the point of unacceptable. And I knew that I had played my part in bringing it here. I had no idea how. And I became filled with rage that this had happened, that these people felt entitled to my life, my life. And every time that they acted on that entitlement, I let it happen. I let it happen. And in that moment, when I was on the floor in that really, really gross hotel room, I chose my life. And I kept choosing it again and again and again. And it was a lot of learning what choices were safe and what choices weren't, what choices would, I guess, where the juice was worth the squeeze. And what was not. And through 3 years of walking this journey, now I'm at a point where my identity, my sense of self, and my inner joy is so unbelievably unshakable. And my empathy is so integrated. And I feel so much love for all the people that I meet, even if they decide to be destructive in their own timeline, that's fine. And this is what that accomplishes. And it baffles me because I speak with the most wonderful people. I mean, decorated neuroscientists and all of these people who are making such unbelievable strides in wellness and what we can accomplish with our brains and how we can get out of our own way. And this method feels very, very simple, but I have found so much power in that. And every person walking this earth is both the artist. We are the artist and the masterpiece. We just have to get out of our own way. And the way to do that is to really just return to self again and again and again. And I mean, yes, I heal people, but I don't really heal people. I just show them how to heal themselves. And my goal is if every person I work with, I don't want them to need me anymore. I don't want them to need anybody anymore. 10, 20 years in therapy, absolutely not. We can accomplish in weeks what 10 years in therapy would accomplish. I want all of the women that I work with to walk away from me with a profound sense of, I've got this. And I know who I am. And there's no disturbing that in any way, shape, or form. I went on off on a little tangent there, Kellen.
Not at all. No, that's good, because the one of the powerful pieces of that was, I was on the hotel room floor, and it was a crummy place, and I can imagine it. I make up what it looks like, but you said, I chose myself. And for those that hear that, and they raise their fists, say, yes, I'm going to choose me. Can you teach us one thing that is choosing yourself? Like, each person listening is going to be in a place, or recognize or remember, or perhaps right now in a place where that distinction matters a lot, about choosing themselves. And you said before, you know, I let them take control of my life, or control it, and then I chose me. Like, what does that look like in the moment when you wake up and you realize, I've been giving away my power, my choice, my sovereignty, and now I'm going to choose me? So what is one example of that people might be able to recognize and take to themselves?
I have two things to say that are very, again, it's very, very simple, but I think there's beauty in the simplicity. Number one, can everyone please just stop saying sorry all the time? Stop saying sorry. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm a few minutes late. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I must look a mess today. I'm so sorry. Stop saying sorry. You're here. You showed up. You're not in bed turning your phone off, avoiding life. You're here. Stop saying sorry. Words have power. Unless we actually act upon trying to make somebody else's life miserable, if we act in integrity with ourselves, we have nothing to be sorry for. Stop.
So I want the second one, but I want to talk about that for a minute. I love that for a minute. And yeah, it sounds simple, but I agree with you. I don't want to reduce the effectiveness because of the simplicity. Because when we apologize for our being or our saying or anything outside of, you know, circumstances that really warrant it, what we're doing is we're saying, I'm not valuable. I don't amount to much. I have somehow inconvenienced you, and it's all my fault, and you can blame me, or whatever way you want to express that negative emotion. And that fills our bodies and our heart and our spirit with negative neurotransmitters in the body, and negative neurotransmitters that we don't even know the names of in the spirit. Like, it fills it with this poison, this toxic sort of energy that diminishes the real truth, which is that you are a divine being and you have infinite capability. So I love that. I do that to people all the time. We're talking and I'll say, I'm not going to hear that. So back up and say that again without the rest of the sentence, whatever it is, for that very reason. So I hear you say that, I hear you teach it, and I agree with it, and I like it. So now you can keep talking, or you can give us number two.
Number two, I think, is kind of funny. I mean, it's not funny, but to me, it's funny. Say no. Can everyone just say no? Say no to all of these expectations, these irrational expectations. I am a single mom. I have a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old, and they go to a private school, which I love, but it's very villagey. And the amount of crafts and costumes and everything that they ask us to generate on a weekly basis. I'm a single mom, and I get these notices saying, hey, on Friday, we're gonna need you to bring in a Macy's Day Parade regulation float and baked goods. No, I'm not doing any of that. I am choosing myself, and I am not going to throw my life into a complete tailspin to serve all of these other things. I will do the minimum requirement because I deserve to have an easy morning that is regulated. Expectations. I can't stand expectations. I'm not going to throw my life up and create chaos in my internal world because somebody else wants me to do something that frankly doesn't matter to me and isn't going to add to my life. And that might sound entitled, but I encourage people to say no to expectations.
So let's talk about that some more, because that's another one that I agree with. No is a complete sentence. And when someone asks you to do something, whatever it is, they might ask you for help. They might ask you to bring in a regulation float. I have no idea what that is. Nobody's ever asked me for one, but hey, whatever. So, they're asking because it's something they want. Mm-hmm. And there may be no malicious intent at all. And they believe that you can solve this problem or produce this thing. And it is completely truthful and right to say either just no, or not now, or I can do it, but not till next week, or whatever the right answer is, and not to feel obligated. The word obligation, where that goes for me is when you say yes, when you should say no. You're creating an energetic dissonance. Mm-hmm. And that dissonance eats your lunch because you're not happy anymore. Only say yes to those things that you can lean into all the way. Because mm-hmm. a yes without that energetic truth behind it is poison anyway. It's full of resentment. It's full of negativity. And I don't care what it is you say yes to. If you're going to say yes, man, it's hell yes and all in. Or else say no. And there's 100 ways to learn to say no nicely, not screw you, get lost. But, that doesn't fit. I can't do that now. Thank you for thinking of me or whatever. But the answer's still no. Mm-hmm. So I think that's good. And those are both really important because they create in different ways that energetic dissonance that pushes against the truth of your own value. Did I say what you meant, or is that off base?
That's absolutely it. Nail on the head. And for anyone listening, what I discovered the first time that I said no, I honestly, especially when it came to the school and all of these functions and all of these things, and I just don't have time to do it. And I knew that saying yes would really, really disrupt everything on a massive scale. And I was very, very scared to say no. I was scared of the judgment. I was scared of all of the other what would they say? And I said no. And what happened was nothing. I have been extremely well received, and people seem to respect how I compartmentalize my time and how I parent on a much greater level. And they're much more considerate of my boundaries. And that feels really, really healthy inside. And all it really does is enable me to be more and more myself. Because I'm not sitting here feeling grumpy about something that I agreed to do that I don't care about and don't want to do.
So that's funny, because at the beginning of COVID, which is now 6+ years ago, I created an acronym. Now, I love acronyms and I use a lot of them, but it's WITOT, WITOT. And I called it the WITOT fungus. And I used to say, and I still do, but it was in the context of the beginning of COVID. And I said, the WITOT fungus kills more people than COVID ever will. And then, of course, people would say, well, what is WITOT fungus? And it stands for what I think others think. And when we live in that, I say to people all the time, you're infected, man. Infected with what? You're infected with WITOT. What's that? What I think others think. And then that launches a conversation about the value judgments we place on ourselves that have no basis in reality, but they're based on this assumption, the fear of judgment, all the stuff you just said. I think somebody's going to think bad, and therefore that's a problem. And I don't want to feel like they're going to maybe think something bad. And this whole dance of assumptions, which is both nonsense and not true most of the time.
Exactly. Why are people wasting all of this time? Care about yourself. Care about your own internal world. I'm not saying that you should only care about yourself, but when we put ourselves and our needs first, I'm not encouraging anybody to let the infrastructure of their lives fall apart for something self-serving. But when you put yourself first, when you choose to regulate yourself, when you come into your own human experience, establish a relationship with the present moment first, and then you stack everything else on top of it, you tend to stop worrying about the small stuff. You tend to stop caring about what other people think. Usually when people think something negative about another person, I have found that 9 times out of 10, if somebody thinks ill of me, it's because I have activated something in them that I've reminded them of a hurt from the past or something that they don't have or something that they want and can't get or just something. It's their insecurity. It's their life. It's their journey that has nothing to do with us. And the biggest part of me choosing myself in that hotel room on that floor was separating myself from all of that. Because I had taken all of that on my entire life. I had let it almost kill me. And believe me, if we continue to take on the burdens of other people's feelings, of other people's emotions and expectations, that is an infinite job. And it is also not a doable job. All we're doing is just hurting ourselves.
We can't really do it anyway, because all we're doing is taking on what we imagine them to be. So it's all made up anyway. You said something really important, or at least I think it's important, and I want you to elaborate. And that is about self-care. I tell people often that you can't love anybody else more than you love yourself. And I tell people often, and much to their consternation, when they ask me what this problem is or how to fix that, even in business or marketing or whatever, or relationships, or whatever, I say, well, I'm going to tell you what I believe the real core of this is, and you're not going to like it. And you know, oh, well, I'm okay, so tell me what it is. Usually I say, well, you actually don't love yourself. And so we need to go to work on that first. And they say, well, I do too. And then I ask this question, and I want you to talk about this, your perspective on it. And that is, if I were a fly on the wall of your house and your life and inside your head, and I was able to hear, see, and feel everything that you do and say, would I exclaim in joy, that's a woman who loves herself? And when I ask that question, almost everybody says, well, yeah, no, you know, that kind of thing. And so I want you to talk about how important this self-love is.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I think it's the key that unlocks everything else. It's the key that unlocks gratitude. It is the key that unlocks presence and flow and just appreciation for who we are. And I meet these women that work with me and I help them transform their lives. And I just, when they come into my practice, many of them are just very, very broken down because they have been trying to love themselves within this little box that somebody else has established. And if I can only parent my kids as well as I am regulated and in gratitude and in presence that day. If I am dysregulated and if I am putting the external first and letting other people's actions throw me and doing all of this stuff, chaos ensues. And that's just how it is with life. We attract exactly what we are in that moment. I mean, everybody that I know has a friend that's always kind of dealing with this. Oh, it's always something with this person. They're always in this crisis or that crisis or in a bad relationship or doing this or that. It's because we attract exactly how we feel about ourselves. You know, look at what I did to my life. I grew up in a family that taught me that I was only there to serve them and their egos. I was only here to be a byproduct of their own very messed up self-worth. And that's just what I thought of myself. And so I carried that on and continued the cycle. If we do not learn to love ourselves, but it's not even enough to love ourselves, we have to love ourselves enough to be our own advocates on a really massive scale, sometimes on an hour by hour and in stressful situations on a minute by minute basis. If we don't love ourselves enough to stand up and say, no, I am not available for this behavior. I'm not going to let you do X, Y, Z to me. I'm going to remove myself from the situation because that's what's healthy for me. If we don't love ourselves enough to do that, then we are at the mercy of what is in our orbit.
A couple of really, really good points there. We'll talk about the orbit thing in a minute, because changing our, taking responsibility and changing our circumstance is powerful, available always. But I want to talk for a minute about this self-love, because I agree with what you've said, and I love the focus that you have on that. And I want, like, when you tell someone that, they confuse it sometimes with selfishness or self-indulgence or a bunch of other things, which isn't any of that. So if you were trying to teach me, and I was clear from, you were clear from my language and how I presented to you that I really needed some work on that, that I was not loving myself, even though I thought I might be or whatever. Do you have a couple of practices or things that you have? And I know you gave us those others in a minute about choosing yourself, and they might be the same or related. But how do you, what do you help me do? What do you send me away? We have a session. You tell me I need to love myself. What do you have me go do?
Okay. First of all, everyone is trying to intellectualize something that you just, we can't quantify this. We can't intellectualize it. We can't turn everything into a pathology, you know, whether it's positive or negative. You know, we can't just be sad. We have to intellectualize it by calling it depression. You know, if somebody's selfish, we can't just say they're, you know, doing this with their lives and they're experiencing something we can't understand, and I'm going to just let them do that and leave them alone. We have to call it narcissism. There's all of these things going on. And the point I'm trying to make is, we can't, this is not something that we can understand with our critical mind. This is something that we have to feel. And the fastest way to connect to your feeling is to unify your mind and your body. Every time we're focused on something outward, think about it. You have completely lost connection with your body and how you're feeling in it. Are you comfortable? Are you feeling expanded? Are you feeling happy? Are you feeling, are your shoulders relaxed? Is your chest open? Are you open to receiving the love that the world has for you? Or are you tightened up? We lose our connection with that. And so the fastest way, and this is what I want to encourage every listener to do, and again, so simple. Stop breathing into your lungs. Can everyone please just stop lung breathing right now? Lung breathing is a learned skill. When babies are born, they only know how to breathe into their diaphragm. Diaphragmatic breathing is the way to open up your vagus nerve and establish a super highway connection to happiness and gratitude. When we're relaxed in that state, that's when we can receive. And if you ever meet somebody who's really stressed out all the time and really activated, they're always breathing into their lungs. We developed that skill about 400,000 years ago or so, you know, to get away from predators. You know, our pupils would dilate and we would breathe into our lungs because it's easier and it's faster and there's less energy spent, you know, on basic body functions. So we could, you know, run quickly and get away from a predator. That's why we evolved into that. And everyone that I start working with, they're always lung breathers. And then when I transition them into breathing into their diaphragm, they're just genuinely so much more relaxed. You can decrease your stress by up to 30% by breathing into just your diaphragm. It's amazing.
So tell me how to do that.
Okay. Well, there are two ways to establish this connection. First, place your thumb on your ring finger like this. Okay. And then take a deep breath. In through your nose or your mouth, you're going to feel the air go into your lungs. That's because you're activating the lung meridian. But if you push your index finger and your thumb together and you start breathing, you're going to feel the air go into the deeper parts of your belly. That is a very, very easy way. If you're not familiar with diaphragmatic breathing, just activate that meridian. Or you can put your hand over your belly button and take a deep breath in through your nose and just focus on sending the air down to where your hand is. And those are the easiest ways to establish that connection. And yeah, really, it's reactivating a connection with yourself first. A person cannot learn how to love themselves if they're completely disconnected from their bodies.
So I love that. And what I really love about this is two things. One is the things that you've been talking about are, as you've said two or three times, they're simple, but we ignore them. Like if you're sitting with someone and you ask them if they're present, you know, they might say yes or they might not, but it's easy to ask questions. Well, are you feeling the chair that you're sitting on? And yeah, you can put your consciousness there, but you weren't. Okay. And you're putting your hand there. I'm a vocalist and I sing. So I, you know, had to learn how to do all this stuff. But it is so ignored. Like we don't realize we're not doing it until someone like you gives us an instruction and says, do this, feel this, direct your attention. And so when you say disconnected, what I'm hearing is we're swirling around in the intellectual piece of the, you know, prefrontal, whatever, all the technical terms, but we've lost focus. It's not that we can't do it, but we don't. We've developed a habit of not feeling the rest of the body, which is where all this information and capability lives. And so I love that. The other thing that I wanted to mention is it is so interesting as I ask you these questions to notice the energy and excitement with which you talk about and answer these questions. Because when you, me, any of us, when somebody's talking about something that they, one, know is true because they've lived it, and two, they're passionate about, that kind of energy comes through. And I like seeing it and feeling it and experiencing it with you. So that's all, is just seeing that. So I want to ask, what didn't we talk about? You know, we've got, I don't know, 8 minutes or 9 minutes left or something. And there's two things I want to cover. One, I want to know what else we didn't talk about that's important to you to talk about today. And the second thing is, I want everybody to know every single place they can find you, find more of you, your website, your stuff, your programs, your books. I don't care. But start with what else didn't we talk about that we need to talk about?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I can answer that. There are so many things that I want to talk about and address. And I mean, if we're talking about expression, connection to the self, I mean, I could talk about this. When's the next Olympics? Because that's how long I'll be talking about this.
Well, we just had them in February. So 26, 2028 will be the Summer Olympics. So about okay. 2 years from now.
Okay. You know, I guess the creativity is the mechanism. You know, I talk about this a lot, and I grew up watching Bob Ross. Have you ever watched Bob Ross? Remember the joy painting? You know, oh, let's put a bird here. You know,
Yeah, I do remember. I didn't watch it a lot. There was not a lot of TV in my growing up, but keep going.
Okay. I'm not knocking Bob Ross. I love Bob Ross. I watch his show every week, but the reason that I'm going to say everyone is afraid of creativity or thinks it's not for them is because every method that is out there is end results based. And you see these gorgeous paintings and you see people that create these things, and it's incredibly intimidating. And when people show me their spectacular works of art, first I'm in awe, then sometimes I can be a little jealous. And then I'm thinking to myself, okay, I need to separate myself from this person to protect my ego. There's something I need to work on, you know, tag it and work on it. But if we realize that none of this is end result based, it's about the process. When we nurture the artist and not the art tends to follow along. This is creativity is the physical manifestation of your regulation. That's how we express physically that we are regulated and in a flow state. And if people have trouble meditating, can't quiet their looping thoughts, learn something creative that is not end result based, that is process based, and you will quiet those looping thoughts in 3 to 5 minutes, guaranteed, every time. And when we focus this way, we take the pressure off ourselves. It's not about where we end up, it's about the journey and how we nurture ourselves along the way. Our minds tend to manifest what we focus on. So what would our lives look like if we focused on expressing what we're feeling in that moment in a way that had zero inhibitions? And if we genuinely express joy and happiness, oh my gosh, what if we told ourselves we loved ourselves every day? What would your day feel like? Maybe loving experiences would just fall into your lap all the live long day. That's what happens in mine.
I'm going to just agree with that louder than I possibly can without overloading the microphone. You're when you said it's not outcome based, it's process based, the act of creativity. So many people, like you said, say, no, I'm not. I can't draw. I can't paint. Can't sing. Can't. And the truth is, of course you can. And I've directed a lot of choirs and take pride in teaching all these people that can't sing to be good. But what you're saying is it is the act of giving yourself permission, which goes all the way back around to what you started with, which is the product is permission to be yourself in an authentic, uninhibited way. So be yourself. So choose to have that. And the creativity isn't just a product that you create. It is the act of giving yourself permission to express. Is that right? Or am I missing something here?
Again, nail on the head. And the thing that is so beautiful, I'm just going to kind of add a little.
Please do.
Cherry on top to it. When we engage with ourselves in this way, we are regulating our central nervous systems completely. That's just a result of the process. And we are quieting our looping thoughts. You don't even have to think about it. They just stop. When you keep the hands busy and when you keep the eyes focused on play and pretty colors in front of you, the looping thoughts stop. We stop hating ourselves. We stop thinking horrible things. We stop worrying about what's going to happen, this, that, the other. And we become engaged in the present. And the self-love that happens as a result of that is just so unbelievably joyful. I can't talk about it enough. And, you know, I want everyone to think about a time when they were usually, I hear these stories and it's usually a memory from early high school when they were in an art class and got lost and having so much fun and their hands were getting dirty and they just think so passionately about this experience when they could get lost in this thing or poetry or this or that. All of that is possible for you today if you just remove the pressure from yourself to be perfect. Who wants to be perfect? That is so boring. I want us to celebrate our ugly art that we had fun making. And that's my little rant on that.
Well, I love that. And thank you. I'm so glad I asked, because permission to be, permission to create for freely, permission to just engage in the moment. That is what brings us into the present, because I'm doing what's in front of me here now. And I'm not worried about and have no judgment or need to even think about what's anything further than that permission to do that. So let's go to, where can people find out? What are your websites and your books and your, so they can find out more about you or engage with you further, Amy?
Yeah, absolutely. On Instagram and TikTok, it's me, Amy Harper. And anybody can find out anything about me on theartbear.com. On Facebook, I am Amy the Art Bear. I'm always available via DMs. I'm always available for a call. If there's anybody that genuinely needs some assistance and heard something in anything that I said, I love just genuinely showing people this and being their champion and cheering them through it. It makes me so unbelievably happy. And I do send out free breathwork practices for women and men, every week. It's just a free 4 to 5 minute audio with some euphoric breathing to alleviate brain fog, heaviness, a little nidra to relax, you know, whatever the theme is that week. So,
How does someone get on the list to get those kinds of things?
Oh, just go to theartbear.com and just sign up for the email list. And it's all right there. And it's, you know, I mean, obviously you can't do it while you're driving, but I specifically tailor this to the moms who are so busy, they don't have time, a moment for themselves. So I tailor this for the woman that is literally doing it on the floor of her laundry room while her kid is asleep for a few minutes while she has that break. That's who I tailor this for.
I love that. Your passion is obvious and your contribution is amazing. And the truth of returning and allowing yourself to be judgment-free and just be who you are, doing what you're doing the best that you're able in this moment, is enough. It is exactly as it should be. Amy, I want to thank you for your message, for your heart, for being with us today, and for sharing what you have.
Thank you for having me, Kellen. It's always so wonderful to talk with you. I just love it. Thank you for having me here.
You betcha. Listeners, I want to encourage you to take this simplicity. Simplicity is the ultimate sophistication. Michelangelo said that, I think. The point, or Da Vinci, I forgot who, one of those dudes. It is a true thing. And learning to breathe, learning to relax, choosing to love yourself, choosing to be delighted with who and where and how you are at this moment is important and powerful. And Amy's taught us really well today. Adopt these practices. Look her up in all of her places. See what she has to offer and explore this truth as you create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.